Morning. Happy New Year. It is a new year. We've got a blank slate, except for 4 days. Today's my sister's birthday. I'm going to have to call her up, let her know that she's 2 years older than me again. She wasn't for a week, but she is now. Yes, my trip from, to see grandkids was uneventful. I told somebody earlier the most dangerous part of my trip was the first 55 miles on the way home after the Ohio State football game in Alabama with Ohio plates. but I made it all right. We're looking this year at the home. And I want us to understand that all of us are in a home. If your home is you, that's your home. Okay, if you've got extended family living with you, that's your home. Okay, God chose the home centuries, a millennia, thousands of years, over 4,000 years before he established the church on earth. And I want us to see that that's the agency through which growth is going to happen. And stability is going to happen in the body of Christ. So I'd like you, if you would, to join me in, of all places, Haggai. Now, Haggai, that's those little bitty books right before Matthew, after Daniel. There's 12 of them. They're called the minor prophets. They're not any less important. They're just shorter than the first five prophets, which are the longer, bigger, called the major prophets. Well, those are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, and then Haggai. Haggai writes 520 years B.C. He starts out in August. By the time we get to verse 15, he'll be in September of that year. And he's writing to a group of people that have returned in 539. So from 539 to 520, for 19 years, they have not yet rebuilt the temple. They're living in their nice paneled homes, but they're not building up the body of Christ. So just because you're in a family doesn't mean that your family is being used by God. And so they're in a family, but their family's not being productive for God. God wants our families to be productive for Him. And that's true on so many fronts. In a former ministry, we had a youth ministry where we brought over 20 young people from the community to Christ. They were baptized into Christ. One of them stayed faithful. We baptized his mom and dad. And he had family to help him grow in Christ. I was reading yesterday that one of the keys of faithfulness is people were taught the gospel at home by their parents. If we present the gospel message to our children at home, it is so much stronger. Well, let's take a look at the text. We'll be in Haggai here. And homes, by the way, come in all shapes and sizes. Enjoying our homes must not distract us from building God's house. As I said in verse 1, it's August 29th of 520 B.C., and in verse 2, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, well, the time's not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, and he preaches, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Okay, in 586, they had destroyed the temple, burned it to the ground, and just piles of rubble were there. And that's where they are. They haven't rebuilt the temple. They were going to lay the foundation and get this thing started, and there were letters from local governors and a bunch of things, but they had been called by God. They had been appointed by the king to rebuild the temple. And they haven't rebuilt the temple. They've rebuilt their houses, but they haven't. And they say, oh, no, it's not time yet. It's not time yet to build up the... Well, when's it time? You know, you're sitting there in your paneled houses. How come it's not time? The temple, if you remember, Solomon's temple was paneled in cedar. And then his cedar was overlaid in pure gold. And he says, here you are in your paneled houses, and there's a pile of rubble there where the temple's supposed to be. Get busy. Okay? But they say, well, it's not time yet. Okay? What priorities, what responsibilities are portrayed and displayed in this passage? Their priority has been, hey, we want things okay for us. Guys, life's not about you. The more you focus on you, and yes, I'm talking about selfies, okay? The more you focus on you, the more miserable you will be, I guarantee it. You can't get depressed without thinking about you. Quit thinking about you. As you're busy thinking about others, it's more blessed to give than receive. As you're blessing somebody else, if you try to be happy, it will never, ever be accomplished. If you try to bless somebody else, happiness can come to you as a byproduct. That's the way it works. That's the way God chose it. And so here they are, they're thinking about themselves, they're in their homes, they're doing pretty good. But he says, no, I want the house of God built up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, how can we use our homes to build up God's house? The early church, and we're going to go through that in a host of ways this year. One of them is be given hospitality. They were daily with one accord in the temple, and daily from house to house they ate their meals together with glad and sincere hearts. Hebrews chapter 13 says in verse 1 and 2 to make sure that we show hospitality to strangers. By this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And so we can use our homes in a bunch of ways to glorify God. And we'll talk about some of those as the lesson progresses. Now, God calls his people to give careful thought to our ways. Look at verses 5 and 6. He says, now, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Okay? Now, anybody make any New Year's resolutions this year? Well, here's what I'm going to do this year. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to exercise more, and I'm going to eat right. And am I going to read God's Word? Am I going to have a daily prayer time? Am I going to be devoted to, 4 or 5 years ago, the elders here asked us to have one family in our home every month from the church. And one family in our home every month, not from the church. That's a good challenge. And some have done that. And some have exceeded that. And some have neglected that. Okay, he says, I want you to consider your ways. I want you to think about how you're going through your week. If the most important part of your week is your show that comes on Tuesday night or whenever. I don't know if shows are on Tuesday night because I don't have cable. Okay, but the thought is, if that's what your thing is, that's not seeking first the kingdom of God. He says, I want you to consider your ways. He says, you plant a lot, you're harvesting a little. You don't get enough. He says, wonder what makes that happen. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3? I planted, Paulus watered, but God gave the increase. God's one to make things grow. Is that true for farmers? You're going to be a farmer, you better have faith in God. Because God's the one that makes things grow. He says, if you're not seeking first the will of God, he says, you ever wonder why maybe you're planting stuff and it's not working out? You ever wonder why you're having other problems in your life? He says, you get busy serving God. Now, in those days, God had a physical kingdom and he offered physical rewards for service. I don't think he works like that today. Okay? I believe he does reward his people, but it's not as blatant as it was then. Abraham was wealthy. Solomon was wealthy. All these people, you know, they served God. They had all kinds of physical wealth. That's not necessarily the purpose of life. I want to be spiritually blessed, and I want you to be spiritually blessed. You want joy and peace and comfort and assurance and relationship with God and purpose and all those things that are involved in the Christian life. You want those blessings. But if you're not busy serving God, those blessings don't come your way. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's the spiritual blessings that we want. But if we're not devoting our lives to building up the kingdom of God, then we're cheating ourselves out of a lot of those spiritual blessings. He says, consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. If I want joy and peace, I need to have a life that produces joy and peace. If I want neighbors to be brought to Christ, I need to have a life that produces neighbors coming to Christ. Whatever it is in my life, if I want spiritual blessings, I need to consider my ways, think about what I'm doing so that they can be brought to Christ, so that they can grow closer to Christ, so that I can grow closer to Christ. All those things. Consider your ways. So when we make New Year's resolutions, hopefully you already did that, and maybe you can add to that. See, the good thing about being a Christian, it doesn't say you have to be renewed year by year. It says you're renewed day by day, so you can make new resolutions today. All right, now, what's the result of giving careful thought to building up God's house? If you think about it, what does this world have to offer us? That which is seen is temporal, that which is unseen is eternal. If I'm given careful thought, I'm going to be thinking more about the things that have eternal results. If you're giving careful thought. How many people want to go to hell rich? No hands up. Okay? Our goals are to be building up the body of Christ, because that's way more important. So he says, give careful thought to building up God. Because if you start giving careful thought to that, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you start investing your time and your attention in the kingdom of God, that's where your heart will be, and your actions will follow. Let's continue. Verses 7 through 11. God calls us to honor him by diligently building up his house. He says, verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timbers and build the house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, and on the grain and the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on the labor of your hands. He's saying, now, There's an interesting word in there. He says, each of you is busy with his own house. How many labor-saving devices do we have that our grandmothers could have only dreamed of? Microwave? I mean, just gas. I remember when I was about 5 years old, my grandmother got an electric stove inside. I remember when she got plumbing inside. I was like 11 when we finally got an indoor bathroom at the farm. Okay? Now, we've got cell phones and iPods and iPads and everything's okay? We've got cable and we've got Pandora and we've got text messaging and Twittering and Facebooking and all kinds of stuff that sometimes gets us in a lot of trouble. But anyway, the thought is, we have so many labor-saving devices, I don't have to wait 2 minutes to cook something or 2 hours to cook something. I can cook it in seconds in a microwave. Okay? We've got so many labor. We got electric can openers. We've got, you know, everything that happens. You can go to a machine and buy a can of instant iced tea. We used to have to boil water and put it on ice. Well, I still think that's better. But anyway, the thought is, we've got so many labor-saving devices. What's the busiest society we've ever had? Well, then we don't have to wash clothes. We just push a button. We don't have to dry clothes. We just push a button. We don't have to hang them up. We don't have to use clothespins. We don't have to have all that stuff. You don't have to graze a garden. You just go to the store. You can get a microwavable dish and put it in there. How come we're so busy? He says, you guys are busy in your own homes. Does that describe us? Are we like way busy? What does James 3:18 says? It says, the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Okay? If we're going to spread the gospel of the world, we're going to do it in peace. And don't you want to have something so you can spread it? He says, you guys are busy in your own homes. But God calls us to honor him by diligently building up his house. Now, how does the building up of God's house honor him? John 15 verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. You want to honor God? You bring fruit to God. Not just your own, but that of others. And fruit is not just conversions. Fruit is the fruit of the Spirit in their lives as well. If you find them, teach them, dip them, and leave them, nothing happened. They just got wet. If you help them see the nature of God till they start recreating the character, God starts recreating his character in their lives, and he has the fruit of the Spirit, then fruit is born. But he says, you want to glorify God, you bear fruit. The fruit always has been. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But it's not just in you, it's in the people you share the message of Christ with. And he says, you want to glorify God, you build up the house of God. We as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house. Sorry. Yeah. Now, what blessings can we expect when we're building up God's house? Now, just because I'm building up God's house doesn't mean my car's never going to break down, my kids aren't going to get sick, not going to lose my job, not going to, you know, have loved ones die. Those things still happen. There's no guarantees for you in this life. But if you're busy building up the house of God, what happens? Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into him who's the head in all things, even Christ. As you're sharing the gospel with others, you're growing. As you're telling others the wonder of Christ, you're impressed more with the wonder of Christ. You want to really grow in Christ? Teach a Bible class. You want to really grow in Christ? Teach a Bible class. Kids, ask questions, and you've got to be ready, so you've got to study. And when you do, guess what? You grow. You don't just grow like a weed, you grow like a mustard seed, which is even better. Okay? You just keep on growing and thriving because you're sharing with others. As you share with them, you grow. Okay? If I'm building up God's house, I'm growing. If you're building up God's house, you're growing. I've seen you doing it this year. I've seen some of you just thriving because you're building up God's house. Keep that up. Those of us who are coasting, you don't coast uphill. I should tell about my friend Johnny. He had a 1965 Mustang, 289, big G60 scat tracks on the back end, posi rear end, three-quarter race cam, dual-point distributor. I mean, big Holley 5 two-barrel, nice car. He did 13.9 quarter mile, okay, up at West Salem Drag Strip. His cousin beat him out. He had a 289 Falcon. But anyway, we jacked that back end up real high to put those big, you know, G60 scat tracks on the back end of that thing. You know, you jack that thing up like, it still wouldn't coast uphill. You don't coast uphill. Christians don't either. Mighty rushing rivers have two things in common. They always take the course of least resistance and they always go downhill. Okay? Don't go there. He says, I want you to consider your ways. I want you to think about what happens when you are busy building up the kingdom of God and what happens when you aren't. They weren't. And the temple was just a pile of rubble right in the middle of Jerusalem. They had their houses around. But where's the temple? Oh, it's that pile of rubble in the middle. Ugh. There's a big flat place there in the upper part of the city. The highest part of the city is this big flat place decorated by a pile of rubble for 19 years. From 539 to 520. And it's in August. We start in verse 15. It's in September. It's, guys, let's get busy. Let's get busy building up the kingdom of God. And we'll do it, and I believe we best do it, by families. If you remember, when Nehemiah starts building the wall, how does he have the people working on the wall? By family units. Okay? What does God accomplish by families? Now, let's go back to Genesis. In Genesis 12, God has chosen to use godly homes to bless the world. Genesis is pretty easy to find if you've got your Bible. It's up front. In Genesis 12, God's talking to a 75-year-old man with a 66-year-old wife. And he says in verse 1 to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Well, hey, wait. Why is God playing favorites with Abraham? Why is he choosing Abraham? Why didn't he choose somebody else? How come he picks Abraham? Okay, Job's probably alive at the same time, but he doesn't pick Job. And he says Job's the most righteous man on earth at that time. Melchizedek is priest to the Most High God. Hebrews says he blesses Abraham, and so the lesser is blessed by the greater, and so he's greater than Abraham. How come he picks Abraham? It'll tell us in 18 verse 19, he says, Abraham is going to direct his family after him to keep the way of the Lord. His family. He's going to use his family. And what does it say here in the blessing in verse 3? Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. God says, I'm going to bless you and your family so that you and your family can be a blessing to others and their families so that all those people can be blessed by you. This is God's plan. It always has been God's plan. We're supposed to be blessing families and using our families to do that. Now, what did God hope to accomplish by using the home of Abraham, the family of Abraham? He hoped to infect others with that. He first hoped to help his own children grow. And he's going to produce an offspring who's going to produce an offspring who's going to produce. Eventually, it's going to come to Jesus Christ. And you read Matthew chapter 1 or Luke chapter 3, and you find out descended all the way down from Abraham is Jesus. In Matthew, you find Joseph, and in Luke, you find Mary. And Jesus is descended from Abraham. In Matthew's Gospels, it comes through his son Solomon to Joseph. In Luke's Gospel, it comes through David's son Nathan to Mary, or to her father Eli, because she's not mentioned by name in the genealogy. Now, what's God hoping to do by using his home? He's hoping to use his family to bless all the people on earth. Now, what does God hope to accomplish by using your home and my home? In the last 2 weeks, I have had the benefit of hugging 7 grandchildren and praying with them and telling them a part of the story that never ends. that God absolutely loves them and he wants to use them to glorify his Father. You know, glorify his Son. I think my kids and my grandkids are all going to pass me by. That's my hope and prayer. I want them to all be closer to God than I am. I want them to understand more about God than I do. Okay? I believe maybe why I'm here is just so I can help them and hopefully help you so that you can pass us by. I'm not in this thing for position. I want everybody here to pass me by. I want you to learn more about Jesus than I know. I want you to be more amazed by him than I am. And he says, that's going to happen, Abraham, that's going to happen in your home. And it's going to happen in your home. Now, your home is not necessarily just your children. If you go to Isaiah 56, he says, the children of her who was barren are more than of her who had sons. Okay, I was on the phone this week talking. My buddy Jerry called me. Well, really, his wife Linda called him. Then I got to talk to Jerry. And how's things going, all that. He's got a sister, Margaret. Margaret has never had any kids. No, wrong question. Margaret has had hundreds of children. She's a Bible school teacher. And everybody loved Miss Margaret. And she blessed so many people and continues to bless so many people. Okay? Your home, that's that people you work with. The people you show love to. We've got to be doing that. And we've got to center and focus our attention on children. Everybody here, our focus needs to be on children. We are too much like Jesus' disciples who said, hey, no, don't bring those kids to Jesus. He's got more important things to do teaching grown-ups. And Jesus said, you guys, get out of my way. Let me hug these babies. Okay? You got another Greek for that. No, sir. He said, I want to hold these children. I want to bless these children. Over 85% of people who are sitting in pews today made their initial decision to follow God before they turned 18 years old. Okay? We've got to be bringing the gospel to children and blessing children, whichever one we can. If it's your kids, do it your kids. If it's your grandkids, do your grandkids. If it's your neighbor's kids, do your neighbor's kids. If your nieces and nephews, do whoever it is, we need to be centering our focus on children and helping them grow in Christ. Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Abraham. Okay. Now, homes come in all shapes and sizes. If you're reading Genesis 21, Hagar gets kicked out and she basically finds herself as a single mother raising a teenage boy. You think that's a fun, easy job? Can single mothers raise up teenage boys to love God? Yes, they can. Okay, how can a child raised by foster parents turn out well? Well, Moses, he's raised by basically foster parents in the palace. Samuel, he's raised in 1 Samuel 1, chapters 2 and 3, by a priest who, by the way, is a lousy dad. Okay, but that's the home that he's got. Not all homes are like that. What if only one of the parents is a believer? Do you remember Timothy's dad? His dad's a Greek. His mom, Lois, she's a believer. And so just because, well, I can't do that because my husband's not a Christian. I can't do that because my wife's not a Christian. No. Everyone's responsible to use your homes for God. Well, what if my kids are already grown? What can I do then? Eunice, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Eunice, her faith is passed on to her daughter Lois, and it's passed on to their grandson Timothy. The two strongest influences in my early spiritual life were my two grandmothers. And third was my mama. Okay? The strongest influences in my life. Grandparents. I still can see my grandmother and grandfather, my nan and grandpa. okay, in the living room with their Bibles reading. I mean, when Grandpa couldn't see, he had one of those big round, you know, they have them on all the catalogs, the big round lights with the magnifying lens, okay, and he would have that thing down so he could read his Bible in the morning, and they would read their Bibles together and do their power for today and sing their songs and then turn it to the next page. And then the day that my grandmother died, she had already done her Bible lesson and turned it to the next page, laid down for a nap, didn't wake up. Okay? Now, whatever your home is, if it's you as a grandparent, if it's you as a woman who doesn't have sons, or a father, a man who doesn't have sons or daughters, that's your home. And each of those individuals, and whatever the situation is, God can use your home. And we need to be celebrating those homes and encouraging those homes and strengthening those homes, whatever situation they're in. Okay? If you're single, out on your own, just started out. You got that apartment in your first, I remember my first purchase when I got my apartment was a $5 bookcase because I had a bunch of books. Okay, so I got me a $5 bookcase and I had to buy a sheet of plywood because it kind of leaned like that, you know, so I had to put plywood on the back and hold stuff. But it worked out, okay. But then I bought a expensive $5 table and chairs that we used for about 8 years. But, I mean, whatever it is, you use what you have. You're just starting out. It's just a young home. Bought used stuff because I didn't have money to pay for payments. We need to be blessing, encouraging, training, strengthening homes in whatever situation they're in. If they're young ones, if they're older ones. When it gets to the other end, now there's fixed incomes and now things are wearing out. Now things have to be fixed. And sometimes you don't have the physical labor to do things. We need to be blessing each other's homes, encouraging each other in that regard. And then using those homes to build up the body of Christ. Now, I said homes come in all shapes and sizes. How can all of us be a blessing to orphans? What if you don't have a home? James 1, verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God is to do what? Take care of widows and orphans in their affliction. Keep oneself unspotted from the world. Okay? Everyone needs loved. Taking people in. I was in a former ministry, and in our congregation, we had over 25 foster children that we just had foster homes. We had all these kids come in. This one had three, this one had four, this one had two, this one had one. And we had decided we're going to have our own children's ministry, and so we just brought them in. And the state paid us to teach them about Jesus, which is pretty cool too. But whatever the situation is, we need to be using our homes to glorify God. Now, what if you got a home and you got mom and dad and everything's working out and they're all Christians? That's great. What if it's just you by yourself? What if you're a single parent with kids? If you're a single parent with kids? Whatever situation you find yourself in, that's your home. Use it to glorify God. Don't just be sitting in your home and say, we're just going to be busy doing whatever else. We're going to see our favorite shows. We're going to do our favorite. We're going to play our favorite games. We're going to do whatever. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The lesson this morning is to use our homes, whatever type they might be, to build up the house of God. Don't say, it's not time to build up the house of God. Don't be filled with busyness in your own home and not be busy for God. When's it time to build up the house of God? Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as you did in the days of provocation. Read that this morning in Hebrews 3. How can we use our homes to help that happen? It works best through homes. You have your own support group in homes. You encourage people in homes, and we're going to look at different ways to do that as the weeks progress. What thought do we need to be giving to this assignment? He says, give careful thought. Give careful thought. Think about it. Ponder what's most important and then act accordingly. Do you want to get a degree in architecture so you can build sandcastles at low tide? I wouldn't suggest it. Okay? Do something more lasting. Confucius said, if your plan is for a year, plant rice. If your plan is for 10 years, plant trees. If your plan is for 100 years, educate children. Okay? Let's change the world one child's heart at a time. Now, what changes do you need to make in your home? What changes you need to make in your home? How much time are you giving God? How are you using your home to build up the house of God? How are you letting Him enrich the hearts of the people in your home? What are you doing for the next generation so that all nations of the earth will be blessed through what you do? Y'all know the story of Sister Nichols. Sister Nichols went to a tent meeting in Tennessee. She was brought to Christ. She was a widow lady. They had a 2-week tent meeting. They were so upset. She was the only one that came forward. But, you know, one soul was important, and it was. She went home and taught her 7 sons, who all became gospel preachers. So did her grandsons, most of her great-grandsons. By the time, Hardiman spoke in chapel one time for us back in the 1970s. 105 of her direct descendants had preached the gospel. Okay? Have many people been blessed because of her faithfulness, what she did in her home? What will you do in yours? No, you don't have 7 sons that can be gospel preachers, but you can do something, and we need to do something. And we will get the most lasting results when we work through our homes to get that accomplished. So, how can we help? If your focus in your home has not been on God where it needs to be, if your allotment of time has been mostly busyness and not the peace of God and the joy of Christ, if you have been eager to share more information about a football team playing next Monday night than you have about Jesus Christ who died on a cross for you 2,000 years ago, we need to be giving careful thought to how we are using our homes for God. If you're not yet in Christ, you cannot encourage your children to have something you don't have. If you've gotten away from following Him, He eagerly wants you back. He stands at the door and knocks. And that's for people that were Christians who've been away. Revelation 3, verse 20. He wants you back. Whatever your need might be, He invites you to come while we stand and while we sing.